Turn to Jeremiah 28, if you would. Well, you've already sort of followed along as we read a few of our verses. We're going to be dealing with this whole chapter in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is an interesting book. It's sort of like Ezekiel and other of the major and minor prophets. It's a man of God who delivers a message, and the message is generally not a great message. It's not generally a happy message. It involves the judgment of God because the children of God have decided to reject God. By the way, there's a great message for us this morning. If you decide to go in life and live life outside of the realm of God's will, you try to be disobedient and live a life of disobedience and expect that you're not going to be confronted by the Word of God when you're at church, then you have another thing coming. Or not to be confronted by a man of God who is doing the proper job of delivering the message of God, then you have another thing coming. And it's just the same for you today as it is the children of Israel in Bible times. That the message often has to do with us in our sin or us in our disobedience to God. And then God either gives us a warning about our disobedience or he gives us an encouragement. So it can be correction, reproof, rebuke, instructions. But it's always God leading us to a holy life, to obedience to him. And that's no doubt what's going on in the book of Jeremiah. And I'm thankful for what God has for us this morning in this great book of Jeremiah. I want to direct your attention to chapter 27 just for an introductory reading here of verse number 2 of Jeremiah chapter 27. Look at verse 2. It says, "Thus saith the Lord to me." Now this is Jeremiah speaking. "Make thee bonds and what? Yokes, and put them upon thy neck." So Jeremiah made a yoke and put it on his neck. Who told him to do that? God did. God told him to do that. And that's really important this morning because there's a guy named Hananiah that we're going to be introduced to who decided that he was going to be stubborn. Very, very stubborn. And it's not wise to be stubborn. Matter of fact, it's foolish to be stubborn. So let's have prayer, and we'll dive into this great lesson out of Jeremiah. Father, we love you this morning, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Pray that you'll help our hearts to be in tune with the Spirit of God as you speak to us through your word. Lord, help us to identify our great need. Lord, if it's somebody here this morning who's stubborn, they'd break away from that stubbornness and humble themselves in your presence this morning. We'll honor you, we'll give you glory because of it in Christ's name. Amen. There's a game my kids got. I don't remember if it was for Christmas or for one of their birthdays, but the game is called Would You Rather. And the point of the game is you would pull a card out, and the card then would say, well, there's two cards. You'd pull a card out, and it would say, would you rather do this, or would you rather do that? Okay? And then on the card, you would have to pick which one of them you would rather do. It's not like either one of the choices are good. You just have to pick a bad thing from another bad thing, right? And then once you make your choices, it's the job of the rest of those that are playing to try to figure out what you picked. And so I would rather do this or this. And then we try to pick what you have, you know, decided on that. Let me read a few of the things that are written on these cards, okay? Would you rather have to sneeze but not be able to for a year? Or would you rather have something stuck in your eye for an entire year? Okay, so not have to that feeling of you need to sneeze, but for a whole year not be able to. Or have something in your eye for a year. So you have to pick one of those. Okay, here's another one I saw. Would you rather have a dragon? Just think about that for a second, okay? Would you rather have a dragon or be a dragon? Okay. There's no kids in here, so that's not too exciting for you, but I guarantee you my guys would be excited about that. Oh, man, I don't know. It'd be awesome to be a dragon, though. Listen to the next one. Would you rather be without elbows or without knees? What do you mean? Well, it means you'd either have to keep your arms straight all the time or your knees straight all the time, but you had to pick which one of them, okay? We have laughter on the back row. Why are you laughing back there? You understand the knee part, right? Yeah. You're like, man, I'll take the elbows. How would you eat? I was trying to figure that out, you know. I think I'm going with knees because I got to be able to put food in the, you know. So, okay, listen to another one. Would you rather have hair nowhere on your body or be very hairy all over and not be able to shave? Okay, that's an interesting one. Would you rather never be able to speak again or always have to say everything that's on your mind? That's dangerous. Never speak again or always say what's on your mind. Yeah. Some of those, anyway, I won't get in trouble on that. Some people we might be able to delegate that one to. It'd be nice. No. Okay, well, let me ask you another would you rather question. But this one is in relationship to our text. Not the game, but our text. Would you rather be stubborn or admit that you're wrong? Stubborn people are good at seeing the faults and failures of others. But you know, they have a hard time seeing their own faults and failures, don't they? Yeah. They fail to see their own shortcomings. Webster, I love Webster. He's a great guy. He's really smart. He knows all the words in the dictionary. Webster says the word stubborn is formed from the root word stub or stiff. It denotes inflexibility, like fixed in opinion. Stubborn. Not to be moved or persuaded by even a reasonable explanation. Stubborn. It's like a mule who won't move. Had the privilege of hiking the Grand Canyon. There's always these teams of mules of people who I say these are Grand Canyon hiking cheaters, right? They're on the mules. But these mules, they are all tied to each other. And why are they tied? Because, you know, a mule, it can stop anytime it wants to, and you're not going to get it to go. So they tie them all together so they can't stop. They're forced to continue to go. We see a mule is stubborn at times, and it won't move. It won't budge. But the root word is stub. Like you're hiking, right? And you stub your foot on a rock or on a tree branch, you know, a stub, you know. That's painful. Stubborn people will not be persuaded, and they always cause problems. They're like a mule or like a stub. Stub your foot on. We have a great story that we're going to look at in Jeremiah 28. Before we get into this story about this stubborn man, Hananiah, that we're going to learn about this morning, we need to learn a little bit more about the book of Jeremiah. It's kind of hard to jump right in the middle of a great book of Jeremiah and not have any idea what's going on in the entire book. So I feel like it's important for us to do some work on understanding the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah's conflict here is with a man named Hananiah. Hananiah, in chapter 28, we're introduced to, and matter of fact, we see him introduced in verse number 1, and he's really the theme of all of chapter 28. But the chapter 28 is a continuation of chapter 27. So you can't really understand what's going on in our story today about this stubborn guy until you know what's going on in 27. Now, in the book of Jeremiah as a whole, just so you understand what's happening here, and I like this little wood thing, right? So in the book of Jeremiah as a whole, what's happening is Babylon is going to come to Jerusalem and siege Jerusalem. They're going to take over Jerusalem and make it part of their empire. And the message from Jeremiah and Ezekiel and a lot of the prophets in this time was, listen, Babylon is coming and they're going to siege Israel. And there's nothing you can do about it because this is the hand of God that's doing this. And so the message is from Jeremiah that Babylon's coming, they're going to siege, and the coming of Babylon is during the reign of Zedekiah. He's the king during this time when Babylon is going to come. Now, to get into the minds and the hearts of the delegates that are making a huge mistake, the delegates of Israel. And the delegates of some of the regions round about Israel, what huge mistake is that? they're going to try to gear up their forces to fight against Babylon to preserve their freedom. And so here's what God told Jeremiah to do. Put a yoke on your neck. Now this yoke that you put on your neck, I want you to make it and I want you to put it on your neck like we read in chapter 27, verse 2. And the idea here is that you are going to go into bondage of Babylon, and this is of the hand of God. And there's nothing you can do about it. So that's what Jeremiah did. He made a yoke. Now, I didn't have time to make a yoke this morning, so I got a piece of wood. And the idea of a yoke is that you put it on your neck, and what it means is that you're going to go into servitude. You're going to become a servant, sort of like an ox is to be the servant of the farmer, and the farmer plows the field, and the ox has the yoke on it, and it's how he controls the ox whenever it comes to the plowing of the field. And so the idea is Babylon's going to come, and they're going to put a yoke of bondage on you, and they're going to be your masters, and you're going to be their servants. And this is of the hand of God, and this is what God has told Jeremiah, by the way, the man of God, Jeremiah, to deliver this message to the children of Israel. You think that's a popular message? Oh yeah, you're going to go into bondage. A nation that has such great lineage and history of freedom, you're going to go into bondage. And here's another interesting thought. Why did God tell him to actually make a yoke and put it on and walk around demonstrating this? Couldn't he just deliver the message and tell him? No, because God wanted Israel to not only hear that they're going to go into bondage, he wanted them to see the visual. It's like these pliers. See, some of you are going to leave and you're going to forget everything I said, but you're going to remember these pliers. You have no idea why I'm holding pliers in my hand right now, but you're going to leave and somebody's going to say, "What did Pastor preach on this morning?" And you're going to say, "I don't know, but he had something to do with pliers." Why? Because visuals have a way of making us remember. Well, let me tell you why I have these pliers. Because some of you are stubborn. Oh, yeah. You won't admit it. By the way, that's the funny thing about stubborn people. You're like, "Yeah, I'm so glad Pastor's preaching on that." There's lots of stubborn people. It's you. You're the stubborn one, okay? But they don't get it. Stubborn people don't get it. It's like everybody else is stubborn, but not me, right? Well, here's what God wants to do. He wants to fix your stubbornness. Yeah, you're broken. You're in trouble here. We need to be worked on. And here's what God wants to use. He wants the Word of God to work on you. Now, visual. So they have a yoke, an actual yoke. The yoke is designed to tell the children of Israel that this is established by God, that you are going to go into servitude to the Babylonians. You are going to go into the servitude, and they will be your master. You will be their servants. So Jeremiah delivers this message to the delegates, right? I mean, he did it. I mean, he made the yoke. He put it on. He goes in, and he says, "I've got a message for you, and it has to do with this yoke here." What is it? The message is from God that you're going to go into bondage to the Babylonians, and you need to understand this. And whenever Nebuchadnezzar comes and he comes to rule and to reign and to conquer, here's what you need to do, Zedekiah. You need to turn yourself over to him, because this is of the hand of God. But you know what the children of Israel and the delegates were doing? They were amassing a force because they were going to go to war against Babylon. And here's what Jeremiah is saying is, don't do it. Don't go to war. It's not going to turn out well for you if you go to battle with the children, or rather with Babylon. Because this is established by God that you're to go into bondage. This is his hand. So turn yourself over in obedience. Well, I don't like that message. Hey, listen, it's a message from God. We don't have to like it. It's from him. Right? Sometimes the news is good and happy. But sometimes the news we get at church, straight from the Word of God, it's not always happy, is it? But it's from God. And the idea is you listen to this message, make application. But by the way, I want you to understand something about this yoke that you're going to go into, because it's established by the hand of God. There's going to be people out there who are going to tell you something else. There's going to be people out there who are going to deliver a different message. There's going to be people out there who are going to hear the message. They're going to be under the man of God. They're going to hear the word of God from the man of God. And they're going to say, I don't like that message. And they're going to come up with their own message, one they like. And here's what Jeremiah says. Don't listen to them. Look at verse 14 of chapter 27. Chapter 27, look at verse 14. It says, therefore, I hope you're there, therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a what? A lie unto you. They prophesy a lie unto you. I want you to follow your Bibles this morning. I want you to actually follow your Bible every time that we open the Word of God and preach here at Valley Avenue. Why? Because it's expositional teaching and preaching. I want you to know that we're going right through the Bible. And this message that I'm going to deliver to you this morning isn't my message. It's His message. And if you're stubborn, God is telling you to stop it. Okay? He's going to slap your hand this morning. Now, how do your kids like it when you slap their hand? Well, they don't like it. And if they're stubborn, they really don't like it. Right? So here's what God's saying. You need to listen. And I want you to follow along as we do this. So we saw in verse 14, this is great stuff. Jeremiah has the yoke on. I wish I had a real yoke. But he had the yoke on. And then God has another message for the delegates. Hey, listen. There's going to be people who are going to come and they're going to tell you that you're not going to go into bondage. Well, what's that message? What's the opposite of war? We learned this in class this morning. Peace. So they're going to come and tell you there's peace when God said there's no peace. Don't listen to them. Okay? Because this is my message to you. Now this is a segue into our message today, because a guy comes on the scene and guess exactly what he said. He said exactly the opposite of what God said. Right? That his name's Hananiah. God's message is you're going into bondage. So I want you to be humble, and I want you to be humbled. And Jeremiah was basically saying that he didn't want the children of Israel to be stubborn. And certainly, we identify a stubborn person this morning. Stubborn people. What about them? They don't listen. You should write this. Stubborn people will not listen. The man of God, Jeremiah, has a yoke on his neck. You will not be freed from bondage. You know what Hananiah said? I hope you were listening during the Bible reading earlier, but let me tell you what he said. Hananiah said, listen, Israel, I got a message for you. I know Jeremiah's got the yoke on his neck, but I want you to know, children of Israel, you're going to be freed from bondage. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice. Let's, go ahead and celebrate now, because we're going to be delivered. And my message is from God. We're going to be delivered. Yeah, that's what he said. Hananiah said that God would be breaking the yoke of bondage of Babylon and restore even Jeconiah as the king. Look at verse 1. It came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, I already told you it was Zedekiah as the king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, that's the guy, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me, saying, in the house of the Lord, oh, by the way, it's got to be true, right? Because he said it in church. He's at church. He's in the house of God. Yeah, you know what? There's even false things that are taught and said in church. You mean there's stubborn people at church? Yeah. Stubborn people at church. Well, here he is in the house of the Lord. Verse 1. In the presence of the priests and all the people. Look what he says. Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Look at verse 4, the last phrase. He says, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So Hananiah has a message. Hananiah's message challenges Jeremiah's message. Well, what's that mean? Well, it means this. The pastor has one message, and this other person has a entirely different message. They don't agree with each other. This message directly contradicts Jeremiah's message. Jeremiah is standing there. He's got a yoke on. God says we're going to go to bondage. Hananiah comes and says, oh no, God told me we're not going to go to bondage. Well, he said that God had told him this, you know. Hananiah is urging these delegates to go ahead and rebel against Babylon, isn't he? That's foolish. Hananiah is promising that the rebellion is going to follow by a restoration. And then Jeconiah is going to come back and Israel is going to be returned to her glory. So Hananiah totally disobeyed, didn't even listen to the Bible, didn't even listen. What do you do whenever somebody won't listen? That's a good question, isn't it? You know what? It bothers me. I get up here, I preach, and I look, and I see everybody. I don't know who's listening, who's not listening. Sometimes it's an indicator whenever I walk up and you're still staring that way. Usually that tells me you're not listening. You know, or if I do this, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And you're not listening probably. You're here, but you're not there, you know. What do you do whenever you tell somebody what they need to do and you read it right out of the Bible? You just read it to them right out of the Bible and they won't listen. Because that's what's happening here. They're not listening. Hananiah has got the message straight from the man of God, but he won't listen to biblical counsel. He won't listen to the message. Matter of fact, he is saying that God has delivered him a new message. And it's not something that God said. Yeah. They won't listen to the man of God. Well, what did Jeremiah do? Well, here's what he said, basically. He said, well, we'll just see. You said God said this, and I said God said this, so we'll just see, right? Look at verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, okay, we have a confrontation here. Jeremiah gets right in the grill of Hananiah. You can imagine. If you can, you know, if you can sort of picture this, in the presence of the priests and of the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, right there in the house of God, verse 6, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, Hananiah. Amen, Hananiah. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon and to this place. So the you know, you read this and it seems to imply that Jeremiah is being sarcastic. You know, I hope I'm not losing you, but you know, Jeremiah has a message from God. He's got the yoke on him, if you can imagine that. You got Hananiah coming and saying, God's going to break the yoke of bondage. And here over Jeremiah is looking over here, he's like, what are you talking about? You know, in his heart, he's saying, what are you talking about? But here's what Jeremiah said to him. He said, amen, Hananiah. Amen, Hananiah. It's not sarcasm. I mean, you do a deeper work and you do some more word studies here. Here's what Jeremiah is doing. And I want you to get this. Do you think that Jeremiah is delivering a message that he himself even likes? That we're going to go into bondage? Jeremiah's not happy about this. He's just saying what God said. He's just delivering the message. He's the messenger. And so when he said amen, he's saying to Hananiah, I wish your message was true. I wish what you were saying, that God's going to break the yoke of bondage, I wish that message was true. But then he says this, nevertheless. Nevertheless. You know what he means when he says nevertheless? Your message isn't true. Amen, I wish it was true. But nevertheless, it's not true. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, the man who has the truth, the man who's carrying the truth, you know, that if it's true, then it actually will happen. And so let's just let it play out and see who was telling the truth, right? Do you think Hananiah is okay with that? No. So Jeremiah's over here, he's like, you know what? Amen, I wish that was true, but we'll know who's the real prophet here based upon what really happens. But Hananiah is not okay with that. Why? Because he's stubborn. And stubborn people, they got to get their message across. Stubborn people, they got to prove that they're right. Oh yeah? I want to prove to you that I'm right. So he walks right over there to Jeremiah. He walks right over there to him. He takes that yoke off of his neck. And what's he do? Well, let's read it. I'm getting all excited here, but let's read it. Verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. Now Jeremiah in verse number 9, he said, let's read verse 9. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, like if it actually happens, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. So it's like Jeremiah is saying, like in the New Testament, Paul's mentor, what was Paul's mentor's name in Acts? It's not in my notes, so I can't even remember his name. Gamaliel. Gamaliel is Paul's mentor in the book of Acts. And remember what Gamaliel, whenever he, in the book of Acts, was talking about the Christians, which, by the way, Gamaliel was part of the Sanhedrin, was not a believer, was not saved. He was of the Jews. But here's what Gamaliel said. Hey, if it's true, if it's right, then what are we going to do to stop it? You know, if God, let God be true and every man a liar. Let's just see who's right. Let's just see who's true. And that's what Jeremiah said here. And so Gamaliel's on solid ground because Jeremiah said the same thing. But here's the reality about this. It's like you have all these different religions, right? And I've talked to some of you about this. You go into one church and they say, well, salvation is this. And this is how you get saved. And you go to another church who both claim to preach the Bible. They both claim to have the truth. But they say salvation is something entirely different than what this church says. So this church says salvation is this. So this church says salvation is this. And then you come over into Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And here's what we say salvation is. And nobody says the same thing as far as religion. How do you know what is true and what is right? Well, here's the reality about this. The scripture will prove itself to be true. You just don't have to wait very long to figure it out. But here's the reality about this. A stubborn person, he's not going to wait around to find out, you know, what's true or not. He's got to prove his point that he's right because he is stubborn. So he took, Hananiah did, the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck. And the Bible says that he broke it. Broke it right there in the presence of everybody. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to do a graphic, dramatic display in front of everybody so that they would see this and say, well, it must be that God's going to break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. It must be that God is going to do this. And he did it in a dramatic display. So, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? Well, here's what it has to do with us. It's when somebody hears the word of God, hears the sermon from the pastor, right from the Bible, whether it be about your salvation, whether it be about the fact that you need to join the church, or whether it be about the reality that it's time for us to be faithful to church and start growing in our relationship with God, wherever it is across the grid. And by the way, that last one, coming to church and growing and maturing, that maturation process, you're going to get your toes stepped on a lot. And at times, we're going to hear a message from pastor, and here's what we're going to say. Oh, yeah? That's what you think. Here's what I think. I have no desire to do or believe what you just taught me. That's what I think of that message. Throw it to the side. Well, you can do that. But do you think that changes the message? No. Because it's not my message. Oh, and so Ananias took the yoke off of his back. Oh yeah, we're not going to be in bondage. Let me prove it to you. Throws it to the side. Could be a couple of those that are in the service and saw that dramatic display. They started cheering, yeah, we're not going to go into bondage because Hananiah said so. No, it doesn't matter how stubborn you are. It doesn't one lick matter how stubborn you are. And by the way, it doesn't matter how you respond to the preaching and the messages. And the changes and the movement that God wants you to make, listen, you can point it at the pastor and say, I don't really need that, or I'm not going to do that. You can, figuratively speaking, break the message that you just heard, throw it to the side. But here's the reality. It doesn't change the message. It doesn't change the word of God because it's his word. It's not my word. And so do you think it ended there? Do you think, I mean, this whole thing's over? Hananiah broke the yoke and now it's all good? It's all good in the hood. We're going to be fine now. Nope. God doesn't bless stubbornness. Stubbornness is foolish. It's foolish to be stubborn. Why? Can I ask you a question? Why is it foolish for you to be stubborn? not listen. God speaks to you, but you don't move. You don't respond. You know you need to be saved, but you don't. You know you need to join the church, but you won't. It's God's message, but you're stubborn. You're not listening. Ah, la, 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 you're not listening. I'm going to do something else. You know you need to move forward. You need to be faithful. You need to get engaged in ministry. Not me. It's not for me. It's not my message. It's His message. Why is it, why, friend, why is it foolish for you to be that way? Here's why. Because God always judges stubborn people. Look at verse 12. Remember, he broke the wooden yoke, right? Dramatic display. That's what I think of that message. Throws it on the ground. Look at verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet after the Hananiah, the prophet, broke the yoke off the neck of Jeremiah, the saying. Look at verse 13. Oh man, I hope you're following this. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord. That's a message directly from God. What did God say? Thou hast broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make for them a yoke of what? Yep. Iron. Oh, a couple of y'all woke up. All right. This isn't wood. It's not wood. All right, I'm going to break it on my head. Here we go. Nope. You're going to take me to the hospital. It's iron. It's hard. Ouch. So, you're going to break that, Hananiah? No. Your little dramatic display. That's what I think of that message. No. It's iron. You know what that means? Nobody's changing it. This is a message from Holy God, not Jeremiah. This isn't Jeremiah's opinion. This is a message from God. And you're going into bondage. And by the way, stubborn, we're just going to call Hananiah a new name. We're going to give him a new name. We're going to call him by his middle name, Stubborn. By the way, stubborn, because you're stubborn, you want to know how it's going to turn out for you. It's not going to be good. Look at verse 14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of the nations. Look at verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. You're not a messenger from God, but thou makest the people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet, what happened to him? Verse 17. So Hananiah the prophet died. Well, what month? The same year. The seventh month. Oh man, this is really interesting. Those of you who are really paying attention, I mean, you have a rock solid comprehension level, and you have those people, we get so frustrated at them. They have that photographic memory. You know, that's not me. I would probably venture to say there's few of us in here, or few of those in here, not me. In verse number 1, what month was it of the same year? It was the fifth month. The message delivered, he's got the yoke, Hananiah breaks the yoke. Ha, we're going to be free. And then Jeremiah says, whoa, no. Yoke of iron. This is established by God. You're not changing it. You can't just reject God's word and think you can just make it up as you go. No. You rejected God's word. It's not going to go well for you. You're going to die. By the way, that's a Deuteronomy. That's a Levitical law that he broke. So, I mean, he had the judgment of the Holy God on him. And in the seventh month, he died. The same year. 2 months later. He's dead. You know what God is trying to tell us? He judges stubbornness. You're not going to get away with being stubborn. Just because you don't like the message, just because you don't like what it says, or don't like what the preacher says, or what the Word of God even says, or maybe the way the pastor said it. You know, I believe the Bible, but I don't like how he said that. God judges stubbornness. He's faithful to judge it. Remember this? I told you that you'll remember this. You won't remember this sermon, but you'll remember this channel locks right here. You know, God wants to fix our stubbornness today. There's some work that needs to happen in our life, and God wants to do some work in our lives. But you know, often we're like the kid, the teen or the kid, and those of you who are parents, you probably understand this maybe, especially if your kids are teenagers, that you tell them, listen, I have been there. I know what this is going to turn out for you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Don't do it. It's not worth it. I have been there. And they say, oh, come on, Mom. It's a different day. Like back in the Stone Ages, whenever you were alive, like a teenager, back in, you know, the early 1800s, it was different back then, but it's now, it's way different for me, and it won't be like that for me. You're like, no, listen to me. It's not going to turn out well. Don't go down this path. And you're offering them a tool. You're offering them a counsel that will fix their path. It'll get them on the right road. And here's what they do. They will not listen to you. Why? Because they're stubborn. They're stubborn. And God wants to fix us through His Word. This is the Word of God. It's representing the Word of God. And God wants to fix your life. He wants to fix your walk with Him. He wants to fix the direction that you're going. But if you don't listen to the Scripture, if you don't listen to the preaching, if you don't listen to what you're counseled to do, you know, well, you know, I'm thankful for the pastor, I'm thankful for the counsel, you know, but I think that's not going to really work for me. Why? Am I saying something that's not in the Bible? Am I telling you my opinion about this? Because the Bible fixes stuff. It doesn't break things. We break things. Hananiah broke something, but it didn't change the Scriptures. So God is saying, don't be stubborn. Don't be foolish. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the counsel. Listen to the message from the Word of God. Don't be the one who's just determined you're going to do what you want to do. I'm going to do this my way. This is what I think. This is what I feel. Yeah. Salvation. It might be this morning that you need to get saved. I say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, the Scripture teaches that we don't have salvation naturally. It means that we're born in sins, which means we're born without relationship with God. That's our natural condition. And the Scripture teaches this. This is in my opinion about this. So that means every person who's born in the world needs to be saved. There needs to be, it's not something you work into. It's a moment in your life when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the transaction is made, you become born again. It's an event. It's a day in your life when you turn in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ and He saved your soul. And so we either submit to that or we are going to do it our way. But I want you to know, stubbornness to that plan, it's not going to turn out well for you. You want to figure out salvation and do it your way. You want to reject the Scripture when it teaches about salvation. Then it's not, stubbornness isn't going to go well between you and God. He judges it. Well, what about joining and moving forward in the church? It's the same. We can't just decide that we're going to handle church our way. We're going to, well, I don't think that, you know, this about church or that about church. Time out. What does God say about it? Because we don't make up the rules. We either trust in obedience to Him or not. And what is the variable that moves us over into obedience? It's that we stop being stubborn. Stop being stubborn. Move forward. Be faithful. Get engaged. Get involved with the ministry. Move forward in your walk with God in that. Stubborn people don't like to be corrected. They don't like to be told they're wrong. They like you if you agree with them. Stubborn people, they like you if you agree with them. But if you don't agree with them, if you have a different message for them than what they want to hear, then no longer are you on the popularity, you know, you went down on the popularity scale. Correct them for error. For error, they're not too happy. But it's foolish to be stubborn, isn't it? Because God always judges stubborn people. So would you rather? Would you rather go to hell? Or trust in Christ as your personal Savior? What's the difference? Well, usually stubborn people won't take that step. So God wants to fix that, doesn't he? He wants to. Would you rather live miserable or admit you need some changes? Would you rather suffer failure after failure or admit that you need to obey God? Would you rather be right in your own eyes or listen to the Bible? There's so many people who look square at the Bible and won't listen. That's stubbornness. Yeah. So God wants to work on our stubbornness this morning. He wants to fix it. He wants to work in you. But you have to make a choice. I have been stubborn. I have not listened. I've not moved when God said move. I've not done what God has asked me to do. I have stayed in my ground. I'm the stump. I'm not where God wants me to be, and I'm not budging. And here's what God says: stop being a stump. Stop being stubborn, a stub. Let's move forward. Let God work on your heart this morning. It's not my word. That's His. Don't think we can break that message. Throw it to the side and things are going to be fine. It doesn't change God's word. We need to obey this morning. Father, this morning we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We praise you for who you are. In Christ's name. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.